Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do there at our site. It's a little bit of entrepreneurial nirvana, jbsba.com. And you can find John Deeney there. John's our guest this half hour. He's all over our website in a number of different ways, including a bunch of archives of past shows that we've done with John on a lot of different topics. He's one of the top minds in our brain trust. He's our good friend. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back again.
It's good to have you back. And, folks, as you know, John is one of the alternative board folks. He has a branch of the alternative boards down there in San Antonio, Texas. And John, you've been here a number of times over the years, but last time you were here, we talked about the fact that probably small business owners, it's looking like, based on the numbers and based on the stuff that you and I see around the marketplace, small business owners are hiring people. And the last time you were here, we talked a little bit about how to develop a framework for hiring people, and I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, give us a little bit of a summary, a little bit of a review of what we talked about last time, and then let's head into the new part of this topic.
Right, Jim. Well, last time we were talking about creating a new position when you're growing a small company, and what we were discussing is the fact that you really have to rewrite everyone's job description, whether it's a department or the whole company is 4 or 5 people. It's not sufficient to just bring somebody in and say they'll help everybody a lot. You need to describe what they're going to do, have employees define what duties they'll be giving up, how much time they're going to save by giving up those duties, and what they plan on doing with that saved time. And only by rewriting their job descriptions can you come up with a rational job description for a new person. That'll make them really productive. So today I thought we would talk about losing an employee. Again, assuming a small company, every employee is critical. None of us can afford to have people just hanging around, filling space and taking up time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we lose somebody, we feel it. We know it right away.
So you're not talking about where we're deciding to downsize. You're talking about where we got everybody fully functioning. We're hitting on all cylinders, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, somebody, a key member of our organization, decides to leave.
Correct. And of course, whatever reason can be either way. You may have decided that person doesn't fit.
Right.
Or they may have gotten another opportunity and moved on. And which one of those reasons applies has something to do with how you approach replacing the job, but the process is essentially the same in either one.
Yeah, and of course, if you've decided that they need to leave, then you probably are going to be, you're going to be, have a period of time where you're going to be shorthanded. And whereas if they decide to leave, hopefully they'll give you a little bit of a notice. But typically, once you let somebody go, in this day and time, the way I've seen it, John, is you pretty much just say, look, go ahead and go on, and you're shorthanded for a little while. What that does sometimes in a small business is it puts extra pressure on the small business owner to hire somebody quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, the first person that walks in the door.
Big mistake.
We have too many entrepreneurs out there that use the mirror test for employee screening.
Right.
And I understand why. You're out there, you're doing your job, you're probably doing the absent person's job now too, and interviewing after work or after office hours or squeezing it in between the other things you have to do during the day. And, I hear it from the very beginning. You stick an ad in the paper because that's the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it broad and descriptive because you don't want to eliminate anyone. And, of course, 150 people apply for the job. And then the business owner is sitting there holding his head in his hands going, how am I supposed to review 150 resumes? But the first step is to decide what this person's going to do.
John, let me stop you for a second because we're going to a break. I want you to pick up on that when we come back. But, folks, the thing that you got to do is you got to figure out how to find some patience. You got to slow down just a little bit. And then you got to try to get just a little more sophisticated maybe than you are in this hiring process, because it can be the key to success. It is the key to success in hiring a new person. 20 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with John Deeney.
So keep it up, quench my desire.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with John Deeney. John, have you changed the name of your corporation?
No, we've always been MPN Incorporated, but
okay.
we as we've done more and more consulting, and as you know from our talks on this show, I took on a partner a year ago,
right?
And we've grown some of our people to the point where they're out generating revenue now, and we've just gone back to using our corporate identity because we're doing so many more things than just the alternative board now.
Well, exactly. I knew that you were. You're doing some, also doing some brokerage too, aren't you? Some business
yes,
brokerage.
Yes, we do. Selling some companies, and one of our associates has gone out and gotten herself a couple degrees while working as an administrative assistant.
Wow, good for
in
you.
In human resources, and now is doing actually quite a bit of HR consulting.
Good for you. Well, that's sorely needed, and which comes back to. And by the way, give us your website before we go any further.
Tab San Antonio is still our principal website. We're working on, probably by the next time I'm on, I'll be unrolling the new one. But
all right.
Right now, still look for us at tabsanantonio.com.
Tab San Antonio. And Tom, you're talking about HR, the thing that I said at the end there, at the end of the previous segment, was to as best as you can, be patient. Don't rush into anything. Don't take the first person that fogs a mirror. Don't take a pulse. Actually, take an application, and try to apply some level of sophistication to the next hiring that you do. And if you don't have that sophistication, find somebody who can help you with that, who does have that sophistication. And go ahead.
There are steps to go through, and it's, you say sophistication, we don't want to scare anybody off. It's nuts and bolts. It's blocking and tackling.
That's right.
It's just going through the steps like any other business process. And hiring the wrong person is such a costly mistake. If you think you're short on time because you're shorthanded right now, that's not nearly as time-pressed as you're going to be trying to bring in someone and train them that isn't qualified.
Let me tell you a quick story, and I've told this before on the show. It's been a long time. But when I was a consultant, my clients would ask me, and I wasn't a human resources expert. I never claimed to be. But they would hire me to find a key person for them, a general manager or a VP or maybe something even a little smaller than that, a little lower in the totem pole than that. And we'd run an ad, we'd poll the marketplace, so to speak, and all I would do is sort through the 100 resumes, pull the 6 out that had the qualifications, you know, get rid of the others basically, and wind up with 6, and call those down to 3, interview those 3, and hire one of them. That's what, when I say sophistication, that's what I'm talking about. And here's the thing, John. Every single time that happened, my client said, now I've got a guy that, or a lady or whatever that I'm looking at that my friend has recommended or my brother recommended. and if I hadn't been there, they would have hired that person. But my record, and I haven't gone back in a long time and looked at this, but for a long, long time, my record at putting a person in place that was successful based on that system that I just used was a thousand. I had a 1,000 batting average. And whenever they pulled somebody out that was the first person that they chose, instead of going through the process, as you said, the blocking and tackling, their record wasn't so good.
No, and the typical entrepreneur that we described before the break, pressed for time, too much on his hands, gets tired of interviewing. We tend to be, especially those of us that have built our business on our interpersonal relationships, we tend to look for reasons to keep people in the mix. We look at the resume, and if their last job didn't apply, maybe the one before that or maybe the one before that. We exhaust ourselves combing through resumes trying to find reasons to talk to these people. You're right, Jim. Your job is to take those 100 resumes and get them down to 6 as fast as possible. And if you look at a resume and it doesn't jump up at you and say, this person has exactly the experience I'm looking for, move on. You've got to get 94 of them out of there.
Mm-hmm. And, the thing is 50 of them will have misspelled words. You throw them away immediately.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take that long.
Absolutely true. And the same thing with interviewing. One of the things we do for our clients is we do all the testing and background checking before interviewing. And we had an executive. We don't do a lot of executive search. We do mostly mid-level. We had an executive walk out the other day because we told him we were going to do a background check before we'd sit him down for a final interview in front of the client.
Huh.
And he was highly insulted.
Wow.
He said, nobody's ever checked my background before they talk to me.
Right? Sounds like he's got something to hide to me.
Yeah. I said, too bad. When we put somebody in front of them, we know that entrepreneurs interview people and fall in love with them and offer them jobs on the spot. We want to make sure that's okay.
Right.
But if you're not checking these people out, you're wasting your time. You interview 4 or 5 people, and then typically a small business owner falls in love with somebody. That seems like a really swell guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then either they don't check the background, and I hear this all the time.
That's amazing.
I'm a good judge of character. I wouldn't have really liked them this much if there was anything wrong with them.
Right.
Or they check the background and they find some anomalies or something doesn't quite hook up, and they ignore it. They say, well, he might have had a problem there, but it was probably his boss. It probably wasn't
because
him.
They're too impatient, and they won't take the time to learn the process, which is not that difficult, but it does take patience. If you're going to employ the process of finding the right people, you got to be a little patient. You're going to have to tough it out a little bit till you work through the process. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, John Deeney. Stay with us.
I'm Venus for Sunday. She's got it.
Sitting in the morning sun.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend John Deeney, the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. And John, tell us how we can get your book.
You can get that off the website as well at tabsanantonio.com. We have a section on there. Click through and find the book. And it's really more of a pamphlet. It was intended as a workbook. It's intended as something you can carry around in your back pocket while you're going through the hiring process.
It's a good little book, though,
step by step.
It's a good little book. It'll help you with the process that we're talking about right now. John, tell us about tab boards.
Okay, be happy to. We run the Alternative Board in San Antonio. We're one of about 100 tab chapters around the country.
But if I'm not mistaken, you're the number one tab chapter.
Yes, we have been for a few years now.
Only the best for my audience. Okay, go ahead.
Of course. And what we do is we put small business owners together with non-competing other business owners who have companies that are similar in size and sophistication, and they meet once a month to act as a board, to act as advisors, to bring typically 200 years of experience together to help each other work through their business questions. And we have, just over 2,000 companies enrolled in TAB around the country, about 100 of them here in San Antonio. And if you want to know about it, you can go to tabboards.com, which is our national organization, and there's a map on there where you can find out if there's a tab board near you.
I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to find out a little bit more about tab boards as an alternative to staying in your cave and not getting out there and not leveraging the brain power and the perspectives of other people, non-competing small business owners in your area. I really encourage you to check that out and just to find out about it. It may not be for you. I'm not saying it is for you. I'm saying that I'd like for you to know more about it. And so I hope you'll take a chance, take a few moments and go to tabboards.com and see what you think about it. Also, check out John's site. John, give us yours again, please.
That's tabsanantonio.com.
All right. John, as we wrap it up, what are your last thoughts on replacing this person who's left the company?
Well, I think the biggest mistake people make when someone leaves is they look at what they were doing and they say, let's bring in somebody else to do that. And most job descriptions in small companies are pretty much ad hoc. That job has probably been tailored over the years, especially if it's a key person, if it's
right.
Someone you depended on.
It's morphed, hasn't it?
It's wrapped around their skills and their abilities. If they're better at certain things, they've taken more of that on. If over the years you've found out that they're not so hot at some things, you've probably moved those away. So this may not have any resemblance to the job you need to fill. It's just the job that that person filled.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said last time with a new position, you should go through the same process with an existing position. Sit down. Perhaps some of your existing people would like to take on some of those duties. Perhaps they feel they would be better at them, or they would perceive it as recognition or advancement if they were allowed to take on a couple of those.
Isn't that an important thing to think about, John? Is if somebody's leaving, before you replace them, you know, this is something I always try to point out to my clients, is if someone's leaving, before we replace them, maybe it'd be easier to promote from within if you can, and hire somebody to replace them down in the totem pole.
Absolutely. Or just juggle everything. If you're running a small company with four or five people, it's not that tough to juggle all their jobs. And simplify and streamline the job for someone coming in. Like I said, I see too many people out there that lose their bookkeeper, and right away they want another bookkeeper. I need somebody mm-hmm. that can handle payroll, do all these things. When it took that woman or that man 10 years to grow into that job.
Right. What do you think, John, about staying in touch with a personnel service or a headhunter organization or whatever and having them propose people to you from time to time? That way, when you need somebody, you don't have to start from scratch. What do you think about that?
Most small businesses balk at the pricing, although I've seen the pricing come down in the last year. The professional headhunting services that want 30% of salary can take a real bite. If it's not a key position, though, if it's not a highly skilled or supervisory position, stay in touch with a temporary service.
Mm-hmm.
I love temp to perm.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. I love bringing somebody in. That's an easy way to absorb the extra cost. You pay an extra $2.50 or $3 an hour for a month and see if this person is what you need.
And if they don't, they go away, and if they do, you can make them permanent.
Right, and you still get that screening service.
Absolutely.
You'll get them to go through the applications.
John Deaney, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
We'll see you next time. John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.